Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And we're back. Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. We're back. We're just having a conversation here this morning. No problem. You're tuned into WWGH Radio. It is a Getaway Friday, May the 28th, 2021. 14 and a half minutes past the hour. And our guest this morning in studio, President Warren G. Harding and Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man. Absolutely. And we're going to have a rendition this hour of a song, Beautiful Ohio. This is going to be, yeah, we'll start with it right here. Let's go. Beautiful Ohio.
Long, long ago, someone I know had a little red canoe in a room for only two. Love found its star then in my heart, and like a flower grew. Drifting with the current down a moonlit stream, while above the heavens in their glory gleam, and the stars on high twinkle in the sky, seeming in a paradise of love divine. Dreaming of a pair of eyes that looked in mine. Beautiful Ohio, in dreams again I see visions of what used to be.
Bobby Ray, quickly tell us about that song, Beautiful Ohio.
Sexiest thing about Ohio.
Well, what year? What year with that song?
That's our state song, so it was... It was written in, like, 1918, I think, and then became the state song, I think, in 1932 or something like that. And then they added lyrics in the 1960s, but I don't do those lyrics. So I do, because the new lyrics are about geography or something about Ohio. The song really isn't about Ohio. The song is about making out in a canoe, but is our official state song and is acceptable for all official state functions and not just... canoe makeout sessions.
Sounds good to me.
I don't know if they do that officially in the state anymore, but it's an Ohio thing. You wouldn't understand.
Exactly. And we'll have more from Bobby Ray. We have Warren G. Harding with us. Warren, what do you make of Beautiful Ohio?
It's an amazing song, and as I'm listening to it, I'm paddling down the stream with my fiance Florence in the canoe with me, and you know, the mountains are in the background behind Chillicothe, and the sun's coming up over the wheat fields, and you know, all the Ohio stuff.
Let's talk about Florence. Your wife, you married her. At that time, she was a divorced woman. Now, that was interesting in the early 1900s. Tell us about that.
Well, shocking probably is a better word. Florence is an amazing woman, and that was clear to me immediately when I met her. Actually, I met her... there's several rumors about how did I meet her. I met her at the roller rink in Marion. I say the roller rink. There were four of them. But of course, roller skating major trend from about, I don't know, 1890 on. Big fad. A lot of fun. And as you may know, I played in the Marion Community Band, played the cornet, and that the band played at the roller rink. We were in the center of the rink, and people skated around us. And that's where I met Florence. I ran into her again when she was She was teaching piano. That's how she made her living. But my sister Charity Chat we called her took piano lessons in my father's home. He had a nice piano, and Florence would come in and give Chat piano lessons. So that's how we met and then got to know each other and so forth. There's a lot to say about Florence. Florence is amazing, and to understand that, you need to understand her father. Florence was born above the hardware store. Her father had a hardware store, 127 South Main Street, and her father, Amos Kling, came to town. His first jobs were working as a clerk in Bain's Hardware Store downtown, and over the years he rose in responsibility, and as he became more solvent, he purchased the hardware store from Mr. Bain. But there was an apartment above, and so she was born there. To the great disappointment of her father, Amos was counting on a male child, and was bitterly disappointed when that didn't happen. He was shocked and disappointed when a baby girl presented. He really never got over that, and really raised her as a boy, with a lot of responsibilities in the store. Amos Kling, as he became better off, started dabbling in horses. He made a trip to the Paris Exposition and came back with some French bred horses, which were the finest in Marion County. And, of course, Florence was all over that. And a very able horsewoman. She was known as the best horsewoman in Marion County, and was rumored to be better than about four-fifths of the men in Marion as far as horsemanship is concerned. She would ride horses from house to house. Her father also dealt in real estate and had a lot of rental property in Marion and some of the commercial places downtown. And she rode the horse from house to house to house to house to collect the rent for her father. She also was an expert markswoman. I saw her do this. She could shoot the eye out of a blackbird on the wing. It's out there in the distance, takes one shot, pick up a dead blackbird, and it's been shot right through the eyes. That's the kind of skill she brought to that.
As her husband, that must be scary for you.
Well, I have tremendous respect for the skill, marksmanship, horsemanship. She brought the same thing to the piano. Was a prolific piano player. She went to the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music to study. But again, you have to understand her father. He demanded excellence at everything. When she was practicing, she was expected to practice at least 7 hours a day or until her fingers bled. Well, with that kind of expectation, you end up
on a piano.
On a, yeah. You know, she, you know,
that piano
she became
up.
Pretty good.
I guess she did. So. I want to get our first trivia question out this morning. Now, here's how we'll do this morning. We're going to take entries throughout the morning. It's President Harding Trivia. And at the end of the morning today, what we will do at the end of the day today, the programming, you can choose if you want two tickets to Zumbezi Bay. Do you want two tickets to the Wilds? Do you want two tickets to the Columbus Zoo? So here's the first question, and we'll just take these calls as they come in. What religion was President Warren G. Harding? What religion was President Warren G. Harding? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now remember, you won't get the tickets, but you'll be entered into a drawing to get the tickets that we will do this morning. So, and you can shoot us a shot here on the telephone. 740-383-9944. What religion was President Harding? I can feel everybody going to their Google machines now. What religion was President Warren G. Harding? Want to talk a little bit more about Florence here. Now, Florence, a lot of people say that had there not been a Florence Harding, there would not been have been a Warren Harding in the public eye.
Well, I believe that's true. Florence and I are very good for each other. She brings strengths to our partnership that I don't possess, and conversely, I probably do the same. But she is an exceptional businesswoman. She's highly organized. Those business skills have been immensely valuable for the Marion Star, because she has watched every penny. She's kept the books right down to the penny, and she's also overseen the newspaper boys. Actually, she's responsible for even us having newspaper boys in the first place, because originally, if you wanted a copy of the Marion Star, you came to the Star office and you paid your 2 cents at the counter and walked out with a copy. That's how you got a newspaper. Florence thought that the idea of having a newspaper delivered to the home through a subscription, which, think about it, it means revenue, recurring revenue that you can depend on coming in into the Star. That was a major leap for us. But she recruited the newsboys. She trained them. She held them accountable. She's famous for spanking newsboys when they were late with the paper or didn't show up for work. She wouldn't have it. And in fact, Norman Thomas felt the sting of Florence's hand. Because he didn't quite measure up to her newspaper delivery expectations. I have, with all of that together, I have tremendous respect for Florence. And in large part because she had the backbone of steel to stand up to her father. Amos Kling either ran or tried to run everything in town that he could, whether he was within his reach or not. He was just that kind of man, forceful, blustery, opinionated, strong-willed, and those characteristics were right there when raising his daughter. Well, she played along, did what she was told grudgingly. But when she came of age, there came a time when she had to stand up for herself. And her father didn't expect that, and frankly wouldn't tolerate it, but it didn't matter. If Florence disagreed with something that Amos insisted on, Florence, she got her way.
Hold on, Warren here. Go ahead, caller.
I believe the answer to your question is Baptist.
You are right. Warren Harding was a Baptist. You have it right. All right, we will put you in the drawing here. And by the way, you can enter as many times as you want this morning, because it is going to be a random drawing that we will hold. Who do we have on the line?
This is John Heimlich.
John Heimlich. Well, John, are you enjoying the show this morning with Bobby Ray and President Harding?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Very interesting. Well, did you know President Harding was a Baptist, or did you have to look it up?
No, I already knew that.
Just a Harding fan?
Yeah, I just remember knowing that, and there's a pew up there at Trinity Baptist that has his name on it.
A pew up at Trinity Baptist that has his name on it. In the old Trinity Baptist, right?
Yes.
The old part of the church. Do you have any questions for Warren Harding?
Not right now. He's just very very interesting to listen to him.
I'm glad it's interesting. Thank you, John. You're in. You are a Baptist, sir. Trinity Baptist.
Well, my Harding family, going back generations, all Baptists. I'm a member here of Trinity Baptist, really as soon as we came to town after moving to Marion from Caledonia. Prior to leaving for Washington, I was a member of the vestry or church council there. It's a congregation. It's near and dear to my heart.
And I'll throw out another question here, and then we're going to come back to Florence Harding. What college or university did Warren Harding attend? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What college or university did Warren G. Harding attend? Now, again, at the end of the morning, we'll have a drawing. You can enter as many times as you like, and you can have your pick of a pair of Columbus Zoo tickets, Zumbezi Bay tickets, or the Wilds tickets, and you can pick those up today before 1 o'clock, and those tickets are good all throughout the summer. You can use them anytime, I believe, through Labor Day. So don't miss that. What college or university did Warren Harding attend? 740-383-9944. President Harding, Warren Harding, he didn't answer the question, though. If there wasn't a Florence Harding, would there have been a Public You? Would the Marion Star have been a success? Would you have ever run for office?
Well, the Marion Star and the platform that gave me as an editor is what brought Warren Harding to the public's eye. And without the Star's success, I would not have enjoyed much political success, and a great deal of the Star's growth is due in large part to Florence's influence as a businesswoman someone who thinks about circulation and so forth. But without the content, without the journalism, the stories, the conversation that happens when you're doing a newspaper, the Star wouldn't have flourished either. My strength is words. It has been since I was a small child. I learned to read when I was 4 years old, thanks to my mother. Throughout school and so forth, words were always my strength. And Florence's talent is, she had many of them, but numbers.
Numbers.
I can't remember numbers. I can't remember dates. I can't remember years. But Florence has a vivid memory for all of those kinds of things, and it fills in, a gap in my character.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, was that Ohio Western College?
Not Ohio Western. Good guess, though. 740-383-9944. What college or university did Warren G. Harding attend? That was not the answer. What college or university did Warren G. Harding attend? 740-383-9944. Maybe this is the answer on its way here. Let's see what we have. Go ahead, caller.
Was that Ohio Central?
Ohio Central. You got it that time. Ohio Central.
Bingo.
All right. What is your name, ma'am?
Brenda Griffith.
Brenda Griffith. Glad you enjoying the show this morning, Brenda?
Yes, I am.
You learning a lot?
I'm learning a lot.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You are in the drawing, Brenda. Thank you so much. All right, one more. We're going to get another question out here, then we're going to turn to Bobby Ray for another song. Now, you've heard that this is going to be an easy answer. Now, if you call in during the song, just hold the line until the song's over, and then we will come to you. But who was the runner-up in the 1920 presidential election? Warren Harding was the winner. Who was the runner-up? 740-383-9944. Bobby Ray, tell us what you got this time.
Hey, here's one for Florence. I think she probably saw the same concert that Irving Berlin saw. when he got out of that concert in 1915 at Stanford, and he wrote this song. As a child, I went wild when the band played. How I ran to the man with his hands swayed. Clarinets were my pets, and the slide trombone I thought was simply divine. I could hiss them. Every bar is a jar to my system. But there's one musical instrument that I call mine. I love a piano. I love a piano. I love to hear somebody play on a piano, a grand piano. It simply carries me away. Treat us fine way. I love to run my fingers over the keys, the ivories, and with a paddle. I love to meddle when Paderewski comes this way. I'm so delighted if I'm invited to hear that long-haired genius play. So you can keep your fiddle and your bow, give me a P-I-A-N-O. I love to sit right beside an upright or a high-toned baby grand. When the green tetrazine starts to warble, I grow cold like an old piece of marble. I allude to the crude little party singer who don't know when to pause. At her best, I detest a soprano, but I run to the one at the piano. I always love the accompaniment, and that's because somebody play on a piano, a grand piano. It simply carries me away. I know a fine way to treat a fine way. I love to run my fingers over the keys, the ivories, and with the pedal. I love to meddle when Paderewski comes this way. I'm so delighted if I'm invited to hear that long-haired genius play. So you can keep your fiddle and your bow. Give me a P-I-A-N-O-O-O. I love to sit right beside an upright or a high-toned baby grand.
That song, Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man here. Hey, it's a regular hoot nanny here this morning on WWGH Radio. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, it was Cox.
It was what?
Cox, C-O-X.
Cops?
Yeah, and then he did.
Oh, Cox! I forgot the question I asked. I'm sorry. I was having such a good time here. You are right. It was James M. Cox. Yeah, that was the runner-up to President Warren Harding. What's your name, ma'am?
Eva Lou Kalb.
What's that?
Eva Lou Kalb.
Oh, Eva Kalb. How you doing, Eva?
Fine.
You enjoying the show this morning?
Yes, I just thought that I'd call
you. All right, well, I'm so glad you did. Do you have any questions for Bobby Ray or Warren Harding?
Well, not right now.
If you get any questions, you don't hesitate to call us up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Eva.
And what do I win? Anything?
What's that?
Do I win a prize?
You're in the drawing to win Columbus Zoo, Zumbezi Bay, or the Wild, so stay tuned.
Okay, and when do you give that away?
We're going to draw that probably right at the start of the noon hour. That'll give people time to come pick up the tickets if they want to use them this weekend.
Well, what if I don't hear the answer? When can I call in?
If you don't hear the answer, we'll be on the air till 1 o'clock today, so you can give us a call back here. The drawing will be at 12:15.
What?
The drawing will be at 12:15.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Eva. All right, Eva got it. Cox, that's right. James Cox. Now, I'm going to come back to President Harding here. Well, first, Adam, you're a big part of this morning. We haven't heard your voice on the air this morning yet.
A perfect height for my 5'10½".
Which it's unusual for us to have a standing mic in the studio.
Yeah, we have the official artist of Marion on his way to hang with us for a little bit.
Oh, good. Well, Adam, I just wanted to thank you because you made this morning possible, let's put it that way, by getting Bobby Ray, our pal here, and bringing him down and taking him back to Columbus later on today so he can go busk this weekend. So I appreciate that. What do you make of this morning? There is no radio station doing this in Ohio today or anywhere else, by the way.
Well, there are things the station does, Scott, that stations in Chicago, L.A., and London, and Perth, capital of Australia, of course. Well, there's a Sydney, Ohio, so I don't say Sydney, because even Sydney, Ohio would certainly be very envious of the things that we do at this broadcasting facility. We have presidents, we on a first-name basis. I kind of like the name Gamaliel. That's kind of an unusual name. Or just WG, kind of like the opposite of G.W. Bush, you know. And we have this multi-instrumentalist one-man band here with the cool little hat and the tape on the kazoo just for the effect. And it's raining, you know, we could sing Rhythm of the Rain or I Saw You Laughing in the Rain. A lot of songs about rain.
Now, I do want to remind people again that coming up today at 12:15, President Harding is going to go out on the porch and deliver one of these speeches. Now, remember, it's going to be raining, so when he does go out there, you can hear it on the air. Oh, we're getting another call here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, sounds like you're having a terrific time over the radio. This sounds like the, even though I come 20 years later, but the acoustics and stuff, it puts you right back in that era. I'll tell you what I've heard when I was a young guy growing up, but it's really exciting to you because you can tell you're really on the high note of the show. I'll tell you that.
But we want the audience. I'm, thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. But are you enjoying it as much as we are?
Oh, yeah. Heck, man, I think it's really wonderful. What a way to spend a rainy day or even a sunshine day sometime on the porch, as you can reenact that with Mr. Harding and the kazoo man. Boy, that is really a good combination. You can build that on a big pedestal. I think that'll grow.
Well, I tell you, we're going to talk to Warren here and the Kazoo Man and see if, as summer progresses here and the sanctions are lifted, if we can't get this in the Star and maybe do it out on the porch one day and have a lot of fun and have people over. So
whatever your crew team was that thought this up and the actors in this here, they're doing a wonderful job. It sounds really nice. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the kind words. Well, they're enjoying it out there. Warren, how are you enjoying it in here in the studio?
Oh, this is a tremendous amount of fun. It's great to have such wonderful music. I love music. It's been a big part of my life, and this is a real treat.
Now, we'll get another trivia question out here, and then we're going to ask Warren about Ohio University and also get another song in here from Bobby Ray. Let's see here. What questions? Well, that's a good question to give people. How about this? I bet people will mess this up. We'll see if we get it on the first answer. We'll see how good you are out there, listening audience. Where was the birthplace of President Warren G. Harding? Where was the birthplace?
Because they changed the name of the city.
Now, don't say it out loud. Write it down and give it to me. I want to see how good you are without Googling it. Where was the birthplace of President Warren G. Harding? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The birthplace of President Warren G. Harding. And this is going to lead us into a whole other can of worms, so to speak. Nothing bad, but a question I'm going to ask the former president, or the president here. To be president, well, you became president a couple months ago in March.
Yes, I'm about 90 days into the presidency. I'm trying to make a big difference in this first 100 days. Right now, the major challenge is getting my cabinet ratified by the Senate. A couple of them have been already. But getting my legislative agenda in place and getting the mechanics working to enable many of my platform initiatives.
Very nice. Now, again, the question is, where was President Warren G. Harding born? So basically, we need the, now let's see if I'm wrong. Let's see if they get it right on the first try. Let's see. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, at Blooming Grove, Ohio.
It is not Blooming Grove, Ohio. Am I wrong?
Well,
I'm looking for the name. You know what I'm looking for.
I do.
Yes.
They changed the name of the city.
They did change the name. So he was at that time. It was not Blooming Grove, Ohio.
Right. That's
okay.
The point.
Okay. Thank you. I see. I thought that's what would happen. Yeah. Not Blooming Grove when President Harding was born there. So that's what we're looking for. Now, without giving the answer, President, can you, is that what you call a president? You just say President, President Harding?
I just refer to me as Warren.
Warren, we'll go back to Warren here.
Mr. President to you.
Mr. President to me. Go ahead, I'm not Marilyn Monroe. Go ahead, caller.
Caledonia.
What's that?
Caledonia, Ohio.
Oh, you know, I thought we'd get that answer, too. Caledonia. It's not Caledonia. Good guess, though.
Speaking of Caledonia.
Well, that's the question I had. Well, we're getting a lot of questions here. The name change. But without giving us what the name was, why did that happen?
Well, okay, I won't reveal the name, but when my a great-great-great-great-grandfather, Mordecai Harding, brought his family to Ohio in the mid-1800s. It came from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and was among the first settlers in that part of Ohio, which at that time was in Richland County, and formed a small village. And actually, I have another grandparent that platted the village, broke it into lots, and began selling that. And so yes, it had a name. I can tell you that the Harding family wanted the name to be Harding's Corners.
Oh, really?
Because the Harding family is the predominant family in the area. In fact, even today, if you go there and visit the cemetery that's there, you'll find that 80% of the tombstones have Harding on them, going way back. So, of course, we were lobbying for Harding's Corners, but that didn't create a good atmosphere in the community, because there's some that disagreed with that. So another name was chosen.
So question is, where was the birthplace of President Warren G. Harding? Now, we had Blooming Grove, and we've had Caledonia. Now, the second part of that is, if you go to Caledonia today, there is a historical marker there. Now, what's the significance of Caledonia, Ohio, in your life?
Well, Caledonia it was an important step. My family lived there about 9 years. My father was a farmer. All of the Hardings were farmers. But my father was the last of the Harding farm generations. Frankly, he wanted something better for his family. So he went to a homeopathic college of medicine in Cleveland, took a study there and apprenticed with another physician, and became a physician. But Blooming Grove was a small village, and it would be difficult for a physician to earn a reliable living in a community that small. Caledonia, on the other hand, was booming. The railroad was on the way, wasn't there yet, but knowing that there would be a railroad stop in Caledonia, everyone knew that would boost the town's fortunes. It was a progressive town, much larger than Blooming Grove, and a far better place for a physician to open a practice. So much so that we moved to Caledonia, but my mother also went to school, homeopathic school, to become a physician, but specifically a midwife. So with my father a physician, my mother a midwife in a booming village, we knew that we had more prosperous times ahead than we ever would have if we had stayed farmers in Blooming Grove.
Go ahead, caller.
Corsica.
Corsica, you did get it. Now, did you have to look that up, or was that off the top of your head?
Well, I knew it was some with a C, but I had to look it up. Sorry about that.
No, you can look it up. That's absolutely fine. Now, of all the talk of President Harding being associated with Marion, there's a historical marker over in Caledonia. Certainly the books, Blooming Grove, we hear that name a lot. Had you ever heard Corsica?
Yes, I had. Sometimes it's hard to pull that back from memory.
I can understand. Well, let me get you in the drawing here. What's your name?
Fred Saul, S-A-U-L-L.
All right, Brad. We'll get you into the drawing.
Fred.
Oh, Fred, excuse me.
I'm the dad.
Oh, yeah, yes. Do you have any questions for President Harding?
No, I just, one comment. I think he was really smart in the people he picked for his cabinet. Unfortunately, the cabinet people were not so trustworthy. So, does he have any comments about his cabinet members?
Any comments on the cabinet?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Well, thank you, and well, you can hear the answer here. Thank you, caller. Wanted to know. He said he thinks you chose some really smart people for your cabinet, but there's some talk that they might be untrustworthy. Any thoughts on that? Was the question?
Well, actually. I've only been in office for a few months, but I'm coming to the same conclusion. I vowed throughout the campaign to populate my cabinet with the best minds and with people that I trust. That's a major factor for me, with people that I know that I can rely on and can trust their integrity. Because this presidency is... I'm not a single man running the country. Yes, I head the executive branch of the government, but there are more than 100 million people in this country. And I want everybody to have a part, be active citizens. And I want to choose the best of those, the best minds, to head each of the federal departments and bring talents to the cabinet that certainly I don't possess.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but did you choose people who you felt were the best, but you did not know them personally? Could this be why there is the assumption that they are not trustworthy?
Well, that may be the case. I chose Secretary of State Charles Evans Hughes. He's well-known as the governor of New York. He was a presidential candidate in 1916. Everything about him has been published. I don't think there are any skeletons in his closet. He's extremely diplomatic and intelligent man. So a great deal of trust there. The Secretary of the Treasury, Andrew Mellon. He has not been confirmed yet by the Senate, but Andrew Mellon is one of the wealthiest men on the planet. And if anybody is going to be in charge of the federal budget and the Treasury, it needs to be somebody who certainly has his own financial affairs in order, and Andrew Mellon does. He's a high-profile man, well-known, highly regarded by all. I totally trust him. I've got a Secretary of War, John Meeks, John Weeks. He's a senator from Massachusetts. I know him well from my terms in the Senate. A man of character. The Attorney General, Harry Dougherty. Now, let me correct a misconception here. A lot of people look at his name and say his name's Dougherty. It's not, maybe that's what it looks like. It's not. It's Dougherty. Dougherty. Harry Dougherty. And my campaign manager, but he's a lawyer. He's from Ohio. He's from Fayette County. I've spent decades getting to know the man. So that's someone I trust implicitly.
Okay, here comes another. The Irish. Trust the eyes of the Irish. We're going to go to Bobby Ray here in a second, but here comes another trivia question, actually. Give me the full birthday, including month, day, and year of Warren G. Harding, the day he was born. Month, day, and year. 740-383-9944. We're going to be listening to Bobby Ray. So if you call in and you hear the music, hold the line. We'll get to you when the song is finished. The month, day, and year President Harding was born. 740-383-9944. Take it away, Bobby Ray.
Didn't Hoover have a cabinet position? It was
Well, later. He was Secretary of Commerce.
Herbert Hoover, right?
That's what it was.
Not J. Edgar. Go ahead.
He was Secretary of Vacuuming.
Yeah, Herbert Hoover. Yeah, no, that's right.
He was in charge of the Food Administration and war rationing and, those types of things.
No, and I think also he was the one that went to the Paris Peace Conference that promoted. Okay, so the reason I did that song for Florence is because it mentions Paderewski, right? So when Irving Berlin saw Paderewski in 1915, he decided he wasn't going to focus on playing piano anymore. He was going to focus on composing music. So because Paderewski was such a great pianist, then Paderewski later, there was a revolution in Poland, and they formed the new Republic of Poland. And, in fact, the United States was one of the few countries that supported this at the Paris Conference. And the first prime minister of Poland was Jan Paderewski, this pianist, this famous pianist. And I wonder if it was the connection between the Hardings and him and this virtuoso pianist that was instrumental in if not forming the new nation of Poland, but solidifying their prime minister and solidifying Jan as the prime minister. Anyway, it's nothing to do with this song. This song was written in 1921 when Harding was president. I think it might be so. Unpaid, dear. We have in a bus what smiles are made, dear, for people like us. In the winter, in the summer, ain't we got fun? Times are bum and getting bummer, still we got fun. There's nothing surer. The rich get richer and the poor get children. In the meantime, in between time, ain't we got fun? And cares, dear, come in pairs, dear, ain't we got fun? We've only started as mama and pop. Are we downhearted? I'd say that we're not. Landlord's mad and getting madder, ain't we got fun?
times are bad and getting badder, still we got fun. There's nothing surer. The rich get richer and the poor get laid off. In the meantime, in between time, we got fun. Time, ain't we got fun? Hot or cold days, any old days, ain't we got fun? If wifey wishes to go to a play, don't wash the dishes, just throw them away. Streetcar seats are awful narrow. We got fun. They won't smash up our Piercero. We ain't got none. They cut my wages, but my income tax will be much smaller. When I'm laid off, I'll be paid off. Ain't we got fun?
Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, on Harding's book, November 2nd, 1865.
November 2nd, 1865. You have it. What is your name, sir?
Bill Ballinger.
Bill Ballinger. Bill, you enjoying the show this morning?
Oh, I'm enjoying it a lot, yes.
Why?
Very interesting.
Do you have any questions for Warren Harding or...
No, not right now. Thank you.
No problem. Well, hey, you're in the drawing. Thank you, Bill. Bye-bye. All right, Bill Ballinger got it. We're going to go to break in about 30 seconds, but November 2nd, 1865, significant, Warren Harding, because you were also elected that day. Timing's everything, isn't it?
It is. Election day was my 55th birthday, and I've got to say I got a pretty good birthday present.
We're going to take the phone call here, and then we're going to continue on with this hullabaloo. Go ahead, caller. Are you there, caller? Well, I hear him in the background. If that's you, call back after the break. News, weather, and obituaries coming up, and then back with Warren Harding, Adam Lepp, the Kazoo Man, Bobby Ray, and Angie Evers, all in studio here on this very unique rainy morning, pre-Memorial Day 2021. Stay tuned.
Need to compete with other nations like China. The list goes on. I'm just sick and tired of walking up to little children and them being clueless without a PC.
WWGH Radio, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, the place to talk. Find us on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Look for us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like for exclusive content.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve.